Joining us right now to talk some soccer is John Molinaro, chief soccer reporter for Sportsnet. John, thanks very much for being with us. And, well, TFC, we've talked about it all year. We've been waiting for this team to kind of get it into gear. They blew a big lead against Columbus in their last match, but rebounded nicely last night with a victory. Talk about, are we starting to see the signs of this team coming around, John, or is it still a little bit of work in progress with all the injuries they've had?
I still think it's a work in progress, but it was encouraging yesterday seeing, some bodies back like Nicholas Hassler, Nick Haglin, and Edgar Aketre, who even though it was a substitute appearance, I thought they all showed well after missing a lot of action in recent weeks through injury. It's slowly but surely the team is getting healthy again, and there's probably going to be more bodies back for Wednesday's home game against DC United. And I think the important thing was, aside from, bouncing back after that collapsing Columbus was, with the injuries, it allowed, Michael Bradley to go back into central midfield, which is his natural position. And, because he's been playing in the middle of defense over the last few weeks with all these injuries. But I think he just can affect the game more and influence the game more when he's in his natural position. And we saw that yesterday. He was, it was a command performance in midfield. He helped set up the first goal. And, I think Toronto FC is a better team when he's, patrolling midfield as opposed to the back line.
Yeah, that's the thing about injuries, and not only the players being out of the lineup, but how it affects the players still in the lineup. And that's a great point. Jonathan Osorio with a big game as well, and certainly is, taken, and it looks like a next step for him, hasn't he, John?
He has. I think ever since, the second half of last season, he's just been lights out. This is the best run of form I've ever seen him in since he joined TFC all those years ago. Last year, the start of the season wasn't all that great for him because he dropped down the depth chart and he wasn't starting. And, he was the type of player who used to squander chances in front of goal. He always kind of snatched at his shots. And you just, whenever he was in front of goal, you just knew he was going to squander the opportunity. The way he's playing this year, every time he's in front of goal, you just feel as though he's going to bury it. And that's what he did yesterday. I mean, he had two chances for him, played on nicely by Victor Vasquez on the first one and Sebastian Giovinco on the second one. But he still has some work to do. And what impressed me the most was that instead of rushing his shot like he might have done a year ago, is he kept his composure and he finished cleanly and as I said, with a lot of composure. So I think he's playing with an unbelievable high level of confidence right now, and it shows with the way he's performing on the pitch.
Yeah, he's been great. John Molinaro with us, chief soccer reporter for Sportsnet. I'm Roger Lajoie. TFC gets a big win last night. Now with, in the last four matches, two wins, a draw, and a loss. Now, that's a nice result, and they're starting to come on. There's still a lot of time to go in the season. But, John, is it really still realistic that TFC has enough time and can get on that kind of roll when everybody gets back to get a spot in the top three of the Eastern Conference standings this year? Or is this going to be the kind of year that, all right, look, they're defending champions. They don't need the home pitch that much. Just get into the playoffs, see what happens. How much confidence do you have that this team is still available to make up a lot of ground here?
I think they can make up the ground. I mean, as regards to finishing, top three or top four, which would, guarantee a home playoff date, that might be a little bit of a stretch. I think definitely top two, that's out of the equation now. They're not going to get that first round bye. So if they can finish top three or four, then, they would have home field advantage in the next round of playoffs. That's even still, though, there's still a lot of work to do there, and maybe they could do it. But, if they finish fifth or sixth, it's not the end of the world. I think once they're fully healthy and then once they get going, if they can just get into the playoffs, then we'll see the old TFC of old. Finishing, having to play on the road in the playoffs isn't sort of a death sentence necessarily. And I think this team is just too good and has too much quality that, once it gets in the playoffs, that, it's just going to come good and we can really see what they can do.
Is there anybody in the East you think that is, having one of those years that might be the thing? Because we concentrate on TFC, and while I think people have great confidence in their ability to get it done, some years, like TFC were last year, there's just a team having one of those out-of-world seasons. Is there anybody you think capable of doing that this year?
Well, I think both New York City FC and, Atlanta United, who are 1-2 in the Eastern Conference right now, they're certainly, having very strong campaigns. I don't know that on the level of what Toronto did last year, although it's still early, so we'll have to see how it, you know, it sort of plays out over the next couple months. But I would certainly think, you know, at the moment, those two teams look to be, you know, the strongest sides in the Eastern Conference. And, you know, I think their places in the standings bear that out. But, you know, again, it's fine that, you know, you're hitting the heights in May and June, but it sort of matters to, you know, if you can keep that up towards the back end of the season. So if that consistency, and, you know, I don't think necessarily that New York and Atlanta has shown that they can be consistent, you know, in previous campaigns. Obviously, this is only Atlanta's second year in the league. So it'll be interesting to see how they, if they can maintain this form through, you know, what is going to be a very grueling season this year. And, you know, come September, October, if they're still in that mix for the top spot, then we'll definitely know that they're for real.
Well, indeed we will, and it's a long way to go, but a very interesting season still, and we'll see if they can do it. John Molinaro with us from Sportsnet. I'm Roger Lajoie. The Belmont Stakes 150th edition just about ready to go. Justify 3-5 favorite as tries to wrap up the Triple Crown, just being the second Triple Crown winner. Second in 3 years, but only the second since 1978, and we'll have all the updates for you throughout the course of the night on that race. So, John, let's talk about the World Cup. TFC, of course, is the big story, but every 4 years it is the World Cup and the great spectacle that it is. Maybe start with, you know, it's a unique field this year because some of the traditional power countries aren't in the tournament this year. They've been supplanted by others, so that makes it interesting. But, you know, do you have a top three, four in terms of favorites this year? And I think we might be in for, well, the World Cup is always a spectacle, but it might be a more intriguing tournament than it's been in terms of who really should be expected to win.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, there's some new faces, you know, in Panama. There's some teams who are returning to the World Cup for the first time in a very long time, like Egypt and Peru and Morocco. And as you mentioned, there's some big heavyweights that are not there, namely Italy and the Netherlands, and to a lesser extent, United States. So I think that'll lead to an interesting dynamic of the tournament. Yeah, I mean, if I were to pick, I do have three or four teams at the top of my sort of pool, I guess, so to speak. You know, certainly you can't look past, I think, Germany, you know, the defending champions. I think they're very strong. Brazil obviously has, I think, rebounded nicely from that humiliating loss 4 years ago in the semifinals on home soil, and they're certainly a top contender. France, I think, from top to bottom is, you know, a quality side with, you know, world-class options almost at every position. You know, and my pick is Spain. I think, you know, again, this is a team with a great deal of quality and depth all over the pitch. They're well coached. And I think they have a point to prove after the way they were eliminated in the first round 4 years ago in Brazil. So it wouldn't surprise me if any one of those four teams won it, or if all those four teams are in the final four. But then there are, you know, other teams kind of flying under the radar, like Belgium and Croatia and Uruguay, who might not be as deep, but they're still dangerous attacking sides, and I think they have plenty to offer going forward. So this will be a very intriguing month coming up in Russia.
Okay, so the tougher question then maybe is, give us that kind of dark horse team, because not every World Cup, but a lot of World Cups have that one country that kind of takes the center stage, you know, catches people off guard, goes a couple of rounds. I mean, and I guess part B to that question is, how do you feel about Russia?
Well, how I feel about Russia is not very good at all. I think they're going to be eliminated probably in the first round. You know, it's an old side. It's a very dull side. They don't show much attacking intent. I know home field advantage is a big thing, but, you know, I suspect that they're going to go home after, you know, three games. They might sneak into the second round, but I don't think they're going to do any sort of real damage at the tournament. In terms of dark horses, yeah, like as I said, I think I wouldn't be surprised if a team like Croatia, who has, I think, just a wonderful midfield with guys like Ivan Rakitic, who plays for Barcelona, and Luka Modric at Real Madrid. Those are two of the best midfielders in the world. I think they could go far. Belgium, I wouldn't necessarily classify them as a dark horse, because a lot of people are talking about them, but they're not talking about them as, you know, one of those top tier teams. So but still, again, I look at them from front to back, and when you have a goalkeeper like Thibaut Courtois, who plays at Chelsea, and Manchester United forward Romelu Lukaku, and Eden Hazard of Chelsea, this is a very attacking side, I think very deep and with a lot of quality. So it wouldn't be terribly surprising to see them, kind of live up to the billing that they're getting as a team that's flying under the radar, but who potentially could win the World Cup.
Be a lot of fun indeed. It is the world spectacle, and the World Cup gets going next week. John Molinaro, chief soccer reporter for Sportsnet, will have coverage of that, and of course of TFC as well, as they look to move up in the standings as it gets deeper. John, always great to have you on the show. Thank you, sir.
No problem. Enjoy your weekend, Roger.